The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of the Coalition or of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Yo, what is going on, people? Welcome to Throw Down, episode 217. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, and I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
What's up, guys?
Chris Seeley.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
Carlos Romero.
Yo.
Brian Manjoma.
Apparently, it's the best man can get. Okay.
Adam Vale.
Division Day! I thought
it was Mortal Kombat Day.
And joining us once again, Mr. Richard Bailey Jr.
Yes, good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
Yo, Rich, what's going on, man? How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. It's been a very eventful day today. Just a lot of running around.
Oh, man, yeah. How was your New Year's, man?
Well, New Year's was pretty good. Spent some time with the family. Got a chance to visit Boston. It wasn't snowing there, so I would say that was an excellent trip.
Yeah. By the way, I find it funny that I'm over here asking you questions I asked you like weeks ago, because like I talk to Rich almost every day, people. Like,
well, I mean, you know,
but for the show, you know, those, people want to know what's up.
The shilly questions. You got to, you know, because they haven't seen Rich on the show in X amount of time. You know. Yeah.
No, it's always funny. Like my two most favorite questions are, "What's up with Rich?" and "What's up with Torrance?" I'm like, I talk to these guys every day. You know,
they don't know that.
Yeah. The thing is, obviously, since I don't talk to these guys publicly on Twitter, you know, they don't know that I talk to them behind the scenes. You know, especially me and Rich, we always got to exchange shit we can't talk about. You know.
Well, yeah,
an exchange of information.
Asian. Also, I want to give a big thanks to Robert Workman and Cicero Holmes, who joined us on the last episode. That was a lot of fun, you know.
Yeah.
A lot of information on the, you know, fucking Destiny, you know, all that nonsense. We'll see about that. Rich, what's your quick take on that, the whole Bungie Activision situation?
I think that I have to give Bungie a credit. Hopefully they can do something with Destiny now, but I'm a little tired of Destiny at this moment in time. So, but I do wish them well with Destiny. But no, they just need to just remain independent. Don't try to get acquired by anybody else.
Yeah, because I hear dudes like, "Oh, you got to go to Microsoft now." It's like, no, man, you got to stay on your own.
Here's the big question: out of all of this, how many people from the original, you know, Bungie are even still there anymore?
You got like two dudes.
Well,
you
know, a lot of them stayed at 343 when they didn't leave because they didn't want to uproot their families. They already were settled in Seattle. The ones that had family, kids, and stuff in schools. I remember when that happened because they said the same thing. It was like, all right, who's leaving? And it was like a large majority of them stayed. They worked with 343. They're like, oh, we'll keep working on this.
That's crazy, man.
So it's interesting.
Yeah. All right, man. We're going to get into it. By the way, despite what Adam thought, this whole episode is not dedicated to the division.
Oh, shit.
Adam has like 50 pages of notes. I'm like, damn,
oh,
son.
Oh, man. Oh, like, even Lord, this is the news that I was dropping. I felt like I was being waterboarded with just news. There was just so much going on. My feed's blowing up. Everything's blowing up. Random people I don't know blowing up. I'm like, who are you?
Who are these people?
Why are you blowing up?
Oh, man.
So, yeah, we'll get into it. But, you know, now that we can, Richard and I can finally tell you guys about the event that we attended last month in North Carolina. And,
well, real.
Yeah, and we're going to do something very cool for you guys watching us right now. We're going to talk about the Division 2. While we play the Division 2 footage, man, thank you, Ubisoft, for providing us with the B-roll.
Whoa, what is this? Yeah, this is like the future now.
Yeah, so there you go. There's some graphics for you guys, man. All right, so Rich, man. So yeah, they flew us out there. You know, thank you, Ubisoft, obviously, for doing all that. That was very cool. For us, it was a very good trip because it was like less than an hour for both of us. You know what I'm saying? East Coast trip, we usually are used to going to the West Coast and all that. So yeah, we went to this event to play about, was it, Rich, 5-6 hours or so of the multiplayer, specifically to check out the Dark Zones and the conflicts, right? So we played a bunch of that where they set us up with teams and stuff. I like how the whole office was like set up like with it looked like a military war camp and shit, like guns everywhere and all this other stuff, you know. That was really cool. And yeah, we had a lot of fun there. The catering was very good. They provided all that, you know, very good food. So yeah, Rich, what'd you think of what you played, man?
Well, I will say this. I did get a little bit into the first Destiny game.
Division.
Oh, whoa, see?
We already jumped topic.
I was still thinking about when you said Destiny. Okay, all right.
Now we're talking about the Division event we went to, man.
All right. Ubisoft, please forgive me for that. so I did get a chance to play a little bit of the first Division. I didn't really get a chance to... I thought it was a good game, but I didn't keep playing it up until the very end. So I probably will go back and play it again. But I will just say, from what I played based on the event that we was at, very much enjoyed it. More than I actually thought I would enjoy it. You know, because again, this event was primarily just us playing PvP multiplayer. We didn't really get to get into any story type of content. But yeah, playing a lot of the multiplayer matchup when we did the domination and the skirmish, a lot of that reminded me of Call of Duty Black Ops, because they have that, some of these same modes in Call of Duty Black Ops 4. But yeah, I mean, it was just a fun time. You know, obviously, when you're playing with a team, because the team I was playing on, you know, it's very important that you actually are communicating as a team, because we got beat down in the matchup. But it just was a great experience. I don't really have any real complaints. And I can see how when we did start to explore the different zones, I got a very good idea of how each zone is different, because they did have a presentation prior where they went into each zone talking about certain things that are different. Obviously, we didn't really get to spend too much time in the zone, because I believe we only had like about an hour or so in only two of the three zones. So obviously, we got to do a lot of activities, so on and so forth. But pretty much, I will just say, for those who are fans of The Division, I think they will very much enjoy what The Division 2 has to offer. And a lot of the stuff that they did mention, which we will get into, there are a lot of changes coming to the game. Obviously, they kept emphasizing that they listened to the player feedback, and that pretty much shaped the experience. So I'm very curious to see how that will be received by everybody who is a diehard fan of the series.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Obviously we're going to get Adam's thoughts. Yeah, but I kind of echo your sentiments about it. I was not exactly a big fan of the Dark Zone specifically. It just felt like they threw you in a meat grinder in the last game. Like, if you weren't, like, a beast, like, you were done, you know? And I really didn't touch it. So it's kind of interesting what they're doing this time around to make it, not exactly, like, friendlier, but definitely, like, a little bit more accessible. Like, basically, when you go in there, you get a story first. You get narrative about what happened, to each specific Dark Zone. Because remember, in the last game, Dark Zone was only one spot. It was basically the middle of the city. But, you know, for you guys who don't know New York, it's basically like the top of that map of the game. But this time, it's like southwest and east in D.C. And each place obviously looks different and stuff. And, yeah, you get to learn how each, you know, came to ruin. And as I was told, the story is not too intrusive, because I specifically asked them, like, because I never liked when I play a multiplayer game with story, how you don't really hear the story because you're talking to your friends or whatever. So they said they kept it very light, so you know just enough, but, you know, it's not too intrusive or whatever. So I found that pretty interesting. And I also liked how, you know, basically in the last game, if you got loot, you needed to extract all of it, right? Which means you may lose all of it by the end. You know, if somebody comes in there and snipes you. This time, there's still, like, contaminated loot, as they call it, that you need to extract. But there's also a lot of loot that you could just pick up and start using.
Clean loot.
Yeah, clean loot, exactly, which is really, really good. That means, let's say, if you get a bunch of really good, like, high-level contaminated stuff, because the contaminated stuff is obviously the most high-level stuff, even if you lose that for whatever reason, the AI kills you, the other players kill you, you're still going to walk away with something, you know? Yeah. So I found
your clean loot will still stay. So you can pick it up. It's clean. A guy can come and kill you right after. Yep. When you respawn, you have that
it's,
stuff.
It's still yours, you know? So that it's was really good. You know, obviously, like you said, Rich, you know, communication, very key. I'm going to keep it real right now because I'm going to name your names anyway. The team I was on was complete trash. Like, we just can't. We kept dying and dying and dying and dying and dying, you know, that's just the truth.
A quick little question from Glorious War on who's watching.
Oh, yeah, tell me that. Because, by the way, I just realized that I don't have the comments popping up while
problem.
So please tell me what the guys are saying. So what's he saying?
So Glorious War asks, does it take 30 bullets to kill a guy like Division 1?
If you shoot him in the head, obviously you're going to go down. That's something I learned because I'm like, oh, whatever. I'm just going to shoot him in the body. Nope. Like, you got to shoot him in the head. But and here's the thing, everybody you fight in the game is armored. It's not like you're fighting bums and shit, you know, and take 50,000 bullets. So basically the bullet sponginess is at least justified this time around. You know,
they have some sort of armor.
Yeah, you're fighting armor dudes, you know, and there's different levels of armor guys. So that's what's going on with the Dark Zones. And then we also played Conflict. Now, let's just say, for example, if you don't want to, because, you know, obviously, if you're going into the Dark Zone, it takes you a while to clear that, right? You know, depending on how it is. With Conflict, what we play was like Team Deathmatch and Domination. You could get in there quick 10 minutes, you know. And what's interesting, hold on, let me finish. And what's interesting about that is, because obviously, the Dark Zone takes place in a real location in DC. The conflicts, they're inspired by locations, but they're specifically made for multiplayer, basically, to let players get the most out of them, which I thought was really cool. And that was the latter part of the presentation where they gave us level 30 characters completely maxed out, every weapon, every fucking ability, whatever. And we got to check that out. Again, my team got destroyed because we fucking sucked, you know, but it was still fun. Go ahead. That stuff was already there. Yeah,
in the Division. That was the thing, that all the skirmish and all that stuff that came after the launch. So when a lot of people walked away, these are the new add-ons that came. So they just brought it back. And it looks like, from what I've seen with the menu, they put in a separate category. Because before, you would just go into the subway terminal and then you just walk up to that section and then you could do a skirmish or a resistance. You know, there were different areas. But it looks like from the menu system, it's just a different button. You click on it and you go into a lobby.
Yeah.
Is that what you saw?
Rich, can we talk about the mini? Because
no, you can't. Don't talk about it.
Yeah, no, because I know while we were there,
I was just trying to trap you. My bad.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think we can.
It's a different section.
Okay. Anyway, so one interesting thing is, and I don't know if, and Adam, you could correct me on this. Normalization, basically, now, if you go into Dark Zone, everybody, like, let's say you have the dopest fucking gear out there and you're facing a scrub, it's going to even you guys out, kind of.
Correct.
Yes,
there was
a
balance. They had that also in Skirmish and the other modes, but they didn't have it in the Dark Zone.
Yeah, they didn't have it in Dark Zone.
And people were just getting murdered. That was the issue. And the other problem with the whole thing with the Dark Zone before, like you said, was one big area.
Yeah.
So even though there was on top of the gates, it would say certain levels of, like, with the NPCs, but that's also for yourself to know. Like, damn, I should not be going in there. People would still go in. And I still felt that they should have had some gates where it's like, hey, you can't go in here unless you're a certain level. And it's not to be mean or anything. It's just, you're just going to get murdered. And that's what happened. A lot of people like, oh, I'll go to this uptown location. And they walk through the door and two shots and they're dead. I'm like, yo, fuck this.
Yeah,
thing.
Exactly.
You know?
So they fixed that this time around. Basically, you know, you could go in there and still have fun, not get murdered. And also the same thing with conflicts. You know, if you go in there, it's going to even everybody out. But and I guess, Richard, we're going to know more about this later on. Wink, wink, wink. In the end game, they're going to have occupied Dark Zones. Basically, you know, if you come in with dope ass gear and you come in with some scrubby shit, you're gonna get murdered. You need like the highest level shit in order to survive. So it's kind of, you know, giving something to those players as well, you know what I'm saying, which is really cool. So yeah, you know, we're gonna get more into it because Adam's like, you know, even though he didn't play it, he is more knowledgeable about the Division than me and Rich, so he has more insider shit. But I felt it was good. I could actually see myself playing this a lot more, especially, you know, with Adam, since he's Mr. The Division, and I'm not a multiplayer guy like that, but this was pretty good, you know. Go ahead, Rich.
I just would like to make a comment. You had mentioned Team Deathmatch, so on and so forth. Now, I will admit, I'm not going to say names. Yes, our team also got destroyed, but I did notice during the session, and I don't know if this happened in your session, there was one individual in particular on another team that kept using this particular shotgun.
Oh, yes.
It's like
Showstopper?
You just roll up on somebody one time, one shot, that was it. That weapon, I do hope that they're going to do something about that.
We all talked to him afterwards. He was just mowing everybody down, son. It was crazy, but it does, you know, I'm glad you bring that up because it does bring up a point. It was this better than Metal Gear Solid online beta? Dude, the dump I took last night was better than a Metal Gear online beta.
Question, when you played, because you said that the second part that you played, they give you were more leveled up, right? You were maxed out. So did that include, you don't have to say the name of it, but did that include exotic gear?
No, not really.
Why I ask is because then that means that I'm just wondering if that's how he was running around with the shotgun blasting people, because it was just the luck of the draw and he was randomized with, you know, an exotic shotgun.
That's a good question.
I see what you're saying.
That's an excellent question. Go ahead, Rich.
That wasn't really apparent because some of that stuff they didn't really want to reveal. The one thing that they kept saying is that when they created this sequel, they were thinking about the in-game content in mind. They're going to continue to support it because I guess that was one of the major criticisms of the last game.
Yeah,
that was it.
Yeah, because that's what happened with me. Remember, Adam, like you and I, we had fun for 2 weeks. And then after, I'm like, what else is there to do, you know?
It took a long time for them to release all the other content. They just weren't expecting everybody to run through it like he did.
We went ham, you know. And it's sad because I, in a lot of ways, I kind of compare this to Destiny in the sense of like I feel Destiny had the very best shooting mechanics, but there wasn't really enough there to chew on. Same thing with Division. The third person shooting mechanics are fucking amazing. Probably the best I played this generation. But there's not enough game in there, you know.
It just seems like you're playing a corridor shooter.
Yeah, kind of. Even though it's big, you know what I'm saying, Carlos? It still felt that way. So at least from the multiplayer point, it's very good. And I'm very eager to see what the single player is and the end game, which, again, wink, 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 wait a couple weeks, people. So, Adam, you know, you're the big Division guy here. You checked out the footage, you know, the videos, the coverage, all that stuff.
Man,
you got 10 million pages of notes.
Yeah, there was a lot. And then I know for real, it was a lot of stuff. And then I was like, well, this is a lot of the stuff would just apply to people that are really into it. But then there's key features that people should know just getting in. And all right, so I'll just give those big points because these are the ones that are.
Yeah, and then me and Rich will jump in there if we need to, you know.
All right. So for the first one I picked, you sort of went into it from numerous sources also that were part of that. But then even Ubisoft came out and had mentioned this VoIP. The whole VoIP experience within the Dark Zone has changed. Voice over IP. So when you're just whoever played the Division 1 knows that when you walk around the world within that area, you could hear other people talking if they're in your vicinity, right? Which is a great little tool if you're walking down by yourself and you hear a group, 2-3 guys were talking, then you know, well, I'm not strong enough to battle these guys. I'm going to keep my distance, or, you know, maybe they're friendly. You can hear their conversations. Anyway, that's the good side of it. Most of the time, it's people just saying some racist, fucked up shit like any other multiplayer game. So to get rid of that issue, they disabled it. And from what it was, some reports saying it's disabled, other reports saying no, they removed it. And the only chat that you can have is in your own party, or if you do your own private chat, like a PSN or on the Xbox. Now, this, from what I'm hearing, like Tony had just said, and we talked a little bit off here, he said that was not the case when he went over there to play. You know, so maybe it has changed, but from even some of the stuff that they're posting now, they're like, yeah, it's gone. That part is gone. They just don't want to deal with it. There's many ways you could do it. I mean, right now, if you're playing the Division, you can mute people like most games, you know. It's like you've come across somebody, you could just mute them. But the thing is that this game, and this will go into the next point, they went from 24 players a session to 12.
Adam, before you go on, I just want to jump in on the VoIP thing real quick. Okay, because this is what happened. I interviewed Terry Spear, right? And because during the presentation they gave us, one of the things they brought up was the fact that, you know, the toxicity thing, they recognized it was a problem from the first game and they try to address it. So basically what happens is this game, from what I was told, does have VoIP because, you know, they feel that was a very important thing of the first game because people plant strategies around that, right? But the instant you start firing at each other, that's when the VoIP stops. But from what Adam is telling me, they don't have VoIP at all. So it's kind of conflicting things. Now, yeah. Granted, I'm telling you information from last month. Maybe they changed it. I can't speak for that. But what I was told from Terry, he said VoIP is in there. It's essential to the game. It's just you're not going to hear it when you start shooting because they noticed from their studies or whatever that the instant people start shooting each other, that's when things get kind of nasty, you know. But who knows? You know, we'll have to see about that. I'm kind of glad you brought that up because I had no idea, you know, like anything changed from, you know, yeah. with VoIP, you know, from when I talked to these guys, you know.
So we'll see. We'll see. I mean, that's the thing. It's still early. It's still early, and they can make and break. I'm sure. I mean, right now it's back and forth with the content creators and people really into the community. Some people are like, oh, that's great. Other people are like we talk about strategy. It sort of takes away from it.
Yeah.
You know? Anyway, so it's one of those
things. Yeah, the second player count, which is interesting.
Yep, player count. Yep, went from 24 to 12. Right. And the reason is because they broke up the worlds. As you know, there's three different areas in the Dark Zone. Before it was one big map. So the fact they broke it up, they decided to shrink it down a little bit. They also, because of all the new content when it comes to story base that you said you found out about. And so there's more to do in the Dark Zone. And also it gets rid of the whole mob mentality that used to happen. For those who played, know about doing extractions, and then all of a sudden it looked like a scene from The Warriors, you know, people coming from all over the place. And you're like, wait, are they all together? Are they not? And it's just like a big battle. And at first it's cool, but then after a while it gets annoying because then it's like, man, I can't extract anything because there's just so many heads here, you know, and people going rogue or not going rogue. Then it was accidental rogue. They fixed that, and that leads into the next part. Rogue 2.0 is returning. For those who don't know, the 2.0 came much later on in the game where you press a button. I think if I remember, it was up or down on D-pad. It's definitely D-pad directional. And you would see the skull above the player's head fill up red. As it's filling up, it's a timer, but it gives everyone a notification. Hey, that guy's about to go rogue. Before, you could just be shooting in a direction. Your buddy crosses in front of you. All of a sudden, you just went rogue because you shot your buddy. It was all messed up. And then no one knew. Now you know. Well, then for Division I, you know, that's coming back. But what they added now is there's three levels of rogue. So you have rogue, basic level rogue, which is, they're going to have chests and stuff that you can hack. When you hack these items, it'll say that someone has gone rogue, but you don't pop up on the map. So it's like stealing. That's what they were referring to it as consistent, which is weird because like this, who are you stealing from? It's just there, but they count as stealing. Also, if let's say there's a shootout, someone dies, the other person's chasing someone else, he leaves. If you steal anything from that body that you did not kill, that's also considered stealing. That kind of sucks because then you're going rogue just because you looted a dead body. Second part of that really sucks is that let's say if you're in a group and one of your team members goes down and dies. Now, the way it works, if that happens, yeah, you drop your stuff, but your team member could pick up the stuff for you. Like, yo, I got your stuff. When you spawn, you come back, and then, you know, we can do the extract. Everything's fine. But now, if a team member picks up your gear, he's also rogue because that counts as him stealing from a team member. Hopefully they fix that because that's not right. If you're in a group and I die, I would hope somebody in my team picks up my gear and does an extract so that way we can exchange after. Because whenever you play to get gear, if you're doing a group and you do an extract, you're allowed to share with those team members. You know, so even if you die and you come back, you're still part of the group. So you would still, if they did the extract, you would still be able to share the gear. So hopefully that's something they adjust.
Yeah, I want to just jump in real quick with this. Okay, here's what I found interesting with the whole rogue thing. Apparently, there's a rogue quest line you could follow. Basically, if you keep continuing to do rogue stuff, you get a quest line that eventually leads into the Thieves Guild or whatever it's called. What is it, Adam? Was it Thieves something?
That's the Disemvolved. That's
That's kind of
It's their stash. It's a witch call. It's not a stash. It's a hideout. It's basically it's a secret hideout. If you continue, you have to disarm a bunch of terminals. You have to hack terminals. Yeah. So you go down that path. Now, a bunch of other things I'm assuming will happen. They didn't want to spoil that, but I'm sure that's where the story based elements start kicking in. So in some ways, it's like a story part. But once you're disavowed, you do pop up on the map. So now people do see you roaming around. You're not killing them, but they do see you now on the map. And then, like you said, you can wind up going and you get in these stash. And the cool thing with the stash is that supposedly there's special weapons that you get that you could only get if you're rogue. That's a more incentive for people to go rogue. So that way you can go into these stash houses and then you can get that type of gear. And then there's one that some of the people also that went out there that played that saw this and they were kind of upset. And one of them is a shock ammo. And the shock ammo doesn't just work against NPCs. It works against players for 3 seconds. So here it is. You go to stash house. You could also clear your wanted level. You could do that. You clear your time in the stash house if you pay for it. All right. But you could also pick up the shock ammo. So if you go all back in the world, shock ammo's it's in a division one, but it's kind of weird that they're going to give it to someone who went rogue. So it's one of those things. Some people are kind of upset about that because it gives too much power to that situation. And then the third one, which we're all familiar with, is Manhunt. All you have to do is, while you're in Disavowed or even a regular rogue, if you just start killing people, if you just start becoming a maniac, then boom, you're always on it. You're glowing red. There's a target on your back. And it's your traditional, you know, go kill the guy who went rogue. You know, so those are the three tiers, which it's interesting. You know, they're trying to add different elements and reasoning to go rogue, because right now at this point, there is no point to go rogue. You know, because if you want gear before, if you want exotic gear, the only place to get it was in the Dark Zone. But then they took that out. They were like, hey, yeah, it's in the Dark Zone, but now you can get that from the regular world, open world bosses. And a lot of people that did not like to go rogue because they kept getting robbed or going to Dark Zone because they were always getting robbed for their gear, they stopped going. So if you know you can get the same exotic gear outside of it, and then, of course, they added the exotic gear to Resistance, to Underground, all the other DLCs, then people just stop playing and stop going into the Dark Zone for it. So, like, what's the point of going rogue? Get some XP? That's not a good enough reason. Some division tech? Not a good reason. So that's those are the three tiers that they made changes there. Oh, man, let's see. Of course, you talked about Conflict, which is pretty much just the Skirmish and Domination that they had before. It looks like they're just putting them under a different name. Okay.
Oh, one quick thing about Rogue, I want to say, which is kind of fun for me. Basically, when I was playing, there was this one instance where my team was taking out like a nest of like NPCs, right? And then another team came in and they started killing the NPCs and we were all working together basically, right? And then somebody on my team was like, yo, you know what? Fuck this, man. He went rogue. The whole team went rogue and we started shooting at the other team, you know? It ended badly for us. They fucked us up.
Linked to what you just said with that type of situation, they added turrets to checkpoints.
Yes.
All the checkpoints have turrets. Now, this again, a lot of people in the community iffy on this. Some like it, some don't. So as most people know, those that play it, if you die and you go back out, there's like a little transition period before you open up the door to go into the Dark Zone. If you stand there, you can see through the door almost. You can see little red dots. So you can see the red, the guys that went rogue. So if they're trying to spawn camp, wait to see if you go through the same door. And some people, believe it or not, still do. They just go through the same door. They won't spawn somewhere else. They'll go to the same door. And then next you know, it's sort of ruins it because now they just keep getting killed. And this, I guess, was a serious issue. So they started putting turrets. So now there's going to be turrets up and they're only going to shoot at rogue agents.
Yeah, so, my entire team got wiped out by those turrets because we weren't paying attention.
Here's the plus side to that, though, for those. And this is a lesson to this. Now, let's say you get killed, right? Those rogue guys, they're newbies. Who knows? They're hanging around. They get killed. If you do notice that they're dead, you see the dots because they said you're still going to be able to see the dots. They didn't remove that. So I can still see through the door. I see little red dots and I see them disappear. If I run through there, I can pick up their loot if they had any.
Oh, shit. By the way, just quick thing. I want to give a shout out to Mr. Paris Lilly from Gamertag Radio, who's joining us in the chat to check out our division talk. He was also there at the event with us. You know, we had a lot of fun there. Mm-hmm, you know, by the way, also check out the latest episode of Gamertag Radio or the New Year's episode where I was on there with the fellas talking about, you know, Next Generation, all that. Thank you for Paris. We got to get you back on the show, brother. Anyway, Adam, continue, man. Yep.
I was trying to get this dude on the last episode.
Yeah, he was busy though, man. He's showtime, you know.
So the turrets, that's going to be a big plus right there. The other thing that you talked about, and this is one of the new modes, and this is what they brought up, the occupation. I mean, the occupied areas.
Occupied dark zone.
It looks like that's going to be something that rotates around from the way
they're permanent.
It's not permanent. It might be part of global events. It's definitely their raid system. It's hard, like you said, but here's two other things that they mentioned. I don't know if they mentioned there, but they definitely mentioned now. There's no normalization. That's wiped out from there. So if someone's superpowered, you're superpowered. Two, friendly fire is on.
Yes.
So you can easily kill your buddy. You don't know who's who. You don't know who's rogue either.
You know?
Yeah, you don't know who's rogue. You're trying to go for the NPCs, trying to go through the little story mode thing that they have part of that. But, you know, there's a lot of rewards. So there's incentive to do it. You know, and that's that part. And we'll see what happens there. We talked about this. Let me see.
Yo, Rich, again, I find it funny that, you know, Adam didn't go to the event. He's more well-prepared than us, man.
I do have some notes, but I'm going to let Adam continue.
Yeah. But again, you know, me and you, Rich, we're, you know, let's just be real. You and I were casual Division fans. Like, this guy's this game is really made for guys like Adam. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, continue, my friend.
I love this game.
He's still playing the original, son.
I'm still playing the original. God bless that game. Oh, shit.
He got the platinum and he's still playing it, man. What the fuck?
Yeah, and everybody, whoever pre-ordered, is able to play it February 7th. That's when the private beta begins for everyone else. So that's a plus.
Yeah.
One of the things that everyone's still trying to figure out, they still haven't really answered, is about the resistance and some of the other modes underground. Are those going to be something that they have at launch? Because just like what we talked about before, that they didn't have a lot of end game content, and it looks like they're adding that, because they keep mentioning, oh yeah, the skirmish and domination, that's going to be day one. That's day one. That's going to be there. And that's great. That's great and all. But that's, again, that's the PvP, you know, and a lot of people enjoyed the PvE, which is, for those who don't know, Resistance is like Horde mode. You know, it's one of those type of things. Ways and ways. And you also get exotic gear and stuff like that. Oh, one of the other things, and you sort of talked about it, where when you go to those dark zones, how you get like a story.
Yeah.
So that's NPCs. You're going to be going, they're going to introduce Dark Zone to people for the first time through NPC. So you're going to do a Dark Zone type mission through NPC with no PvE, I mean PvP. So then that way you get a feel for how to maneuver, how it works, the whole process, doing the extraction. Because before, you didn't know. You just went in. You know, people like, oh, what's this door do? Oh, what's happening? You know, so they're aware of that.
Hold on, let me ask you. This is very interesting. So you're telling me the Division has NPCs, but Fallout 76 doesn't.
Oh, no. Uh-oh.
You know how to throw that game under the bus real quick. Anyway, go on, man.
Here we go. That's one of the things, one of the other issues. Hopefully somebody will ask this question, or maybe they'll just tell you guys, you know, because we're getting to that point. We're getting really close to the launch. Is the stash base, has that been increased? Because from the way they had it with the bonuses, if you get the Ultimate Edition and up, it said you get extra stash space. So people were trying to figure out, are you charging for stash space now? You know, like, what's the increase on that? They didn't specify on that. I know you guys didn't get to play loadouts or put on different loadouts.
We were able to change weapons. Oh, you were? We did that. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, because that's one of the things, especially when it came to when he started introusing the higher level gear sets.
Yeah. Like, for example, because again, my team was trash, right? The guy told us, like, yo, you got to have at least one guy loaded out with like a medic and shit, you know, basically you could throw a drone. And then like, if you go where the drone is hovering over, it'll heal you guys up. So, so we did experiment with a couple of different loadouts. Didn't go too deep into it, though.
Because right now they're advertising a lot of branding, right? Saying, oh, the gear and the branding, gear and the branding. And especially in the Division 1, they started releasing all this cosmetic items, which they call premium content. And you could either collect stuff, fragments, keys, and stuff in the game to unlock it, or you could spend real world money, you know, to get these outfits and different emotes and stuff. But my question, and a lot of people were trying to figure out, it's like, are the two hand in hand then? So with these loadouts, if I had a different loadout, let's say if I was going into one of these and I wanted to have my whole Western look, you know, and I get my cowboy hat, my vest and stuff, can I link an outfit to a loadout, specific loadout to that, you know, and just have it separate, since they're giving all this gear? Because right now you have to manually go in and keep changing your outfit for every different scenario. And it's annoying, especially since they're really pushing gear, you know, and collecting items and cosmetics and stuff. And they're putting brands on stuff.
Yeah. By the way, just quick, Paris wants us to talk about how, and Rich, is more for me and you, how overpowered the assault drones were. Yeah, they were crazy, dude. They will tear your ass up. They tore your asses up, boy. You know, it was ridiculous. So, and again, that with a shotgun, I think they just need to do some more, you know, like, what is it? Just balancing, I guess.
Yeah, it's a balance thing. And as time goes on, and then I'm sure there's certain gear that you can wear that'll add extra protection.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that was something that they had before. There's certain gear that you could put on in the dark zone that pretty much only worked in the dark zone, that gave you additional speed to run away from people, you know, and stuff like that. Or it'll have, there were certain outfits that if you put on, it'll give you 10% less damage from rogue attacks.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there was one time I was shooting this dude and he was doing jumping jacks in front of me and I was unloading a clip in him and he was doing jumping jacks.
He was a bullet sponge.
He was like, yeah, he was like, but that's the thing. He was a player. And he was like, yeah, look, you can't hurt me. His gear was so maxed out. It was like,
he was like Sam Jackson from 187. I can't die.
Yeah, he can't die. Yeah. So, I mean, there's a lot of other little things, but those are the key features. And that's great because they need to, if they're going to keep the dark zone, you have to do something with. Oh,
gotta do something.
Yeah, there was one last piece that I found very interesting, is that there's a separate button now if you want to collect all the loot or share the loot.
Yes, oh, yeah. Yes.
So that's kind of messed up. But I mean, if you're with your buddies, then it's fine. But if you're playing with randoms, that could be an issue because then what? Somebody could just collect all the loot and just run off.
Yo, I think I kept stealing everything the whole time, to be honest. I was like, I don't know what button it is. I'll just keep pressing the same one. I'm like, oh, I'm stealing everything. Oh, well.
Yeah. So I was like, oh, well, all right. That's another element of being shady right there.
You know what I would like to see one day? You know, with these sorts of online games, with all the millions and thousands of hours that you guys kind of put into these sorts of games, mm-hmm. and yes, they release a sequel, but then again, you have to start at square one. I mean, to be honest, they should probably give you, I feel like they should give you some sort of like, hey, thanks for your support incentive.
There is.
So what is it?
Shields. That's what I've been playing. When you're like, oh, you're still playing this, I'm getting shields. So there's 12 shields. These 12 shields unlock and give you certain items that carry over into Division 2. You're earning them in Division 1. Weapons, gear, different items, some the cosmetic, some not cosmetic. You know, and as you collect these shields, then those 12, if you can get all of them, then you'll have all that when you go into Division 2. And that's something you could only be obtained in Division 1. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the plus signs. And also, if you beat the game, everyone that beats it gets I forgot what it was. It was like a little chain or something that you get on your backpack when you actually spawn into the game. So anyone that sees that knows, oh, well, he's a guy who beat the first one. He completed. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's a cool thing there, you know, that they added.
Yeah, I mean, at least give people something, because
some recognition.
Like, you speak like you and I'm sure a lot of people out there are still playing the Division, and it's like, it's kind of sucks. It's like you spend all these hours and hours on the game, and you would like to bring something over, you know, that cool hat that you like from the last game,
Well, that was my issue with like FIFA Ultimate Team. I was big into that for a long time, and then I just stopped and realized, like, what's the point? They're gonna reset everything the next time the new version. All my squad's gonna be. I don't get to take like my star player with me. At least let me take one star player with me. No, I have to start over again. I was like, it's no point to this, you know. But that's another cool thing that they're doing. And one of the other things that they mentioned, and this is something they brought up a while ago, but for those who pre-ordered, there's an exotic weapon that you get. But what they noticed, and we've all noticed that, whatever content you usually get for a pre-order or something like that, it only usually helps you for the first few levels. And then after a while, it's pointless, right? You get some new gear and you junk it. So it's like, what was the point? And they realized that. So you get one exotic that's relevant for the early on game, but then you get a blueprint for a super high-end exotic version of that gun. But the parts that you need to construct it, you won't really obtain until toward the end of the campaign. Mm-hmm. So then that way, by the time, if you collect all the parts, by the time you get to the end game, you should have the parts to make the super exotic weapon, but you had the blueprint because you did the pre-order.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
That is pretty cool. Yeah, that was when they announced that. I'm like, oh, that's pretty cool. So then that way you could be running around with the same gun. I'm like, yeah, this is the gun I got from the damn game a year or two ago, whatever. But it's now a super enhanced. It's got a different look, you know, and it's something you can only get when you beat the game. But you had the blueprint, but you need the parts, and the parts you only get toward the end of the game. I thought that was cool.
By the way, interesting question here from Mr. GZDR. He asks, who has the marketing deal on Division 2, Microsoft or Sony? If it's Microsoft, will it go to Game Pass day one? If it's Sony, is there a VR level or credentials bundle? I don't think we have the answers to any of those.
You have more. From what I've heard from all the buddies and people that I know, that like you guys, they were playing on Xbox One.
Yeah, we're playing Xbox One X, man. X gave it to me, man.
Right? They said there was no PC, no PlayStation Pros. It was all on Xbox.
Yeah, it was all Xbox. Yeah, no, that's true. So, but I don't know who has the marketing. It could be Xbox. It sounds like an Xbox type of game.
Well, we know for PC, it's with
Apple. Usually the best way to tell is through the any of the ads. If you see the first person, the first company that's listed on there, if it's usually Sony or if it's Microsoft, you always see that one first.
Oh, and if there's anybody listening that's on Xbox, has Game Pass, hasn't played Division 1, wants to get it, it expires this month. They're removing it from Game Pass. So download it now. That way you still have it. It works sort of like Plus type of thing. If you download it, you have it, and it's all right. It's not going to automatically delete from your system. It's not one of those type of rental systems. That was my fear. No, for real. When I heard about this, I'm like, so what? If it's removed, are they just going to delete it like a rental? It's like, oh, you're done. Sorry. No, as long as you download it and you have it on your system, you're good. So if anybody's curious, jump in.
Yeah, Glorious War says, Ubisoft games sell, so it won't be on Game Pass. Damn, son.
Hey, no, Division is on Game Pass. Division right now, the first one.
Well, the first one, the second one, I don't think. Yeah.
Oh, not for a while. Yeah. But We Happy Few, they just put on Game Pass today, and that game. That's sad. Yeah, that was sad. I wouldn't be surprised if Fallout 76 ends up on there.
Yeah, but anyway, it's funny, man. Adam, you were almost going to be in an hour, so I hope you're happy.
Shit, my bad. But that's it. That's it. And then I think that's just all for the Dark Zone.
Cool. Yeah. So anyway, just to finish off, Adam. So, what are your thoughts overall as a hardcore?
Over 150 hours. Got the plat. Love this game. It brings happiness to my life. I still wear the bracelet that you and Manny sent me.
You wear them.
Wait. Hold on. Only 150 hours?
Only 150. I thought you put more, son.
I put 150 hours in games I don't like.
There you go. No, I'm sorry. This is it.
I'm not angry at you. I'm just disappointed. Yeah,
meanwhile, Brian's over here like 3,000 hours in work.
No, you could definitely put a lot more time in. What pulled me away was Spider-Man. Remember?
Spider-Man came out.
And then I went and we all went to play on that, and then of course Red Dead. So there was the big things that came pushed me away, but there's still some more shields.
Division came out like 2 years ago.
It's interesting. Yeah, you know, we'll see more about the Division soon. Actually, Rich, any final thoughts on the Division 2 or multiplayer?
Oh no, I just was gonna make a quick comment because I know Adam was talking about the multiplayer modes. Well, they did emphasize once again they're gonna be adding more stuff to the game. And that also includes story content and the DLC stuff all free. So we'll have to wait and see what all that other content is, because they didn't reveal any of that at the event. They were very people try to ask those questions. They said, nope. Next question.
I think it was very smart of them to start their conversation for this game with the Dark Zone and with the multiplayer. End game. You know, because we know there's going to be a story and a whole thing, but everyone's going to say, but what's after that? We already know we're going to fly through it. What's after that? And this is also a little nod to the rest of the community. It was like, hey, we listened. We knew you guys flew through the game, and we're like, now what? Now what? This is we're just going to talk about all the other stuff you can do after the game or even while the game. We're adding all the multiplayer stuff. We're putting all that day one stuff, which is great. So, you know, looking forward to all the news. They said more news will come out and you guys are going to see some more stuff. And then, we've got 2 weeks or so, and then the private beta opens up for everybody. We all get to play, which I think is probably going to be what you guys play. You know what I mean? Yeah. I can't imagine anything special.
Yeah, it's going to be, we'll get more into that when we can talk about that. Is there a battle royale mode? Who knows, brother?
Who knows? Well, the one thing, and that actually came up, a lot of people started talking about, but the fact that they lowered it from 24 to 12 for that experience, and I don't see that happening. If they do, it's going to be a smaller version. I don't see it. Unless they make something completely separate, and I don't see that happening either. If they do a battle royale mode, I don't think it'll be in this game. I think it'll be in Wildlands. If they do another Wildlands, that map is more open to a battle royale type of
game. Yeah, this one is not really, not really suitable for that, to be honest.
Nope, nah.
Yeah. All right, man. I hope you guys in the chat enjoyed all that footage. We actually ran through both of them twice, which is pretty interesting. Good stuff, man. All right, move on to some other news. The first one here is the Mortal Kombat 11 reveal. There was a big showing for Mortal Kombat today, and they showed off some of the characters, the fatalities, all this other stuff. Rich, what'd you think of it?
Well, I thought the event was cool. Obviously, there are a ton of other characters that they still have to reveal, and I'm pretty sure they're going to slowly do that over time because, I mean, the game isn't coming out until April.
What's the story with Ronda Rousey?
She's Sonya Blade.
Sonya Blade.
Oh, yeah, she does the voice of Sonya Blade.
Because I was like, is she in the game? And it was like, no, she's not. She's Sonya Blade. So she's not Ronda Rousey in the game.
No, she's Sonya Blade. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. They're, I'm pretty sure that there are some other actors and actresses that they will reveal playing other characters. But from what we saw, the game looks good. The story sounds interesting, there's still a lot more that they have to reveal about this game. I know they had mentioned that Ed Boon had said that he's been wanting to talk about this since E3, but, they decided not to say anything about it. I'm pretty sure that the Rocksteady Studios also wanted to talk about their project at E3, but they still haven't said anything about theirs, so maybe we'll hear more about that as well later this year, but...
Is that Mortal Kombat a day one launch also on Switch? Because I heard something that it was like universal launch for PlayStation, Xbox, and
I keep forgetting it's not coming to Switch too.
That's crazy. That's what I'm saying. I'm like, that's really happening. Like, or is that just talk? Like what they did with Bethesda did the whole thing with Wolfenstein, and that took like a year later.
Oh no, it's coming to Switch the same day.
Shit.
Of course, we have to have a little air of caution. That people who are expecting it to look exactly like it looks on the Xbox One and PlayStation 4, I don't know about that, but it's coming to Switch.
Glorious War says it's coming later to Switch.
You see, like that's what I'm saying. Like I don't.
Let me look this up because I just don't care enough to look this up. Yeah. To be honest. What about the rest of you guys? Did you see the reveal? What'd you guys think of it? Did anybody see this shit besides Rich?
Oh, the crickets.
I threw shit in there because I know the fans are hype. I didn't care.
I saw some of it. I was mainly focused on the Division stuff today, but I did see some of that. That's why I saw the Ronda Rousey stuff, and I'm like trying to figure this out because they showed her there, and so I'm like, wait, are you in it? Because these games they add people in it, at least monsters and stuff we've seen, and I was like, oh, that'd be cool if they had. Yeah, I get Sonya, but then Ronda Rousey just pops up and she does all her shit, but. I don't know. I'm excited for the development, that development team. I like what they do with Injustice, but the Mortal Kombat ones, I don't know. I guess because we played those games to death. You know what I mean? We've been playing Mortal Kombat games since with the Super NES and Sega. And even though it shows all the effects and stuff, I just feel like Raiden and Sub-Zero, we know them already.
Yeah. They did introduce a few other characters. There's a character that they said that has been a part of the story since the beginning, but for whatever reason, now that character has decided to actually become like a main villain for this game. So, there are a ton of characters because, when I looked at the character select screen, it's 25 slots, but they only showed about 6 or 7 characters today. So... They definitely have a lot more to reveal, and I'm pretty sure that we'll definitely get some cameo appearances by other random characters. I know there was news about Spawn may make an appearance in the game, other random characters like they do with Injustice. So we're definitely going to get some of that stuff too. But the game looks good, But yeah, I just need more information as to who else is in the game, because I felt like they were going to reveal a lot more today, but they didn't really reveal that much in terms of the other characters and people that are asking, is this character coming back? So
yeah. By the way, this thing I'm looking right now says it's coming to all platforms on the same day, April 23rd.
Uh-oh.
So there you go. Yeah,
that's like Rich, soon, man. That's soon.
Yeah, like Rich, who are they going to have, like, you know, fucking GSP as Scorpion or something? Like who else is going to be in this game? You know, Randy Couture as Sub Zero. You know,
that, I would see it. Randy Couture would be a good wrestler element. It's shit, but if you're going to go that route, then you got to add Brock.
See, the interesting thing that they said is they said that there were a lot of badass athletes that are in this game as the characters. So what you're saying, I don't think any of that stuff is far-fetched. Hmm. We just have to wait and see, because obviously they're not really saying too much.
So they're casting them now.
Yeah. Like, think about it. Why would you need Ronda Rousey to play as Sonya? You don't. You really don't.
She's just going to be grunting. She doesn't, you know.
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, you only do that if you plan to have her as an unlockable character or something.
Yeah,
but you know, maybe again, during Sonya's storyline, she comes across Ronda.
Maybe. Yeah, because the thing is, like, because there is a story and there is acting in there, but Ronda Rousey is not really a good actress. I'm just saying. I say that at the risk of her beating the shit out of me.
Well, she's honing in her skills in the WWE. She's getting more mic time, and that helps in the acting world, as we've seen with The Rock and Batista and stuff.
That's true. That is true.
So and I think that's why she's there. She likes wrestling. She's a big fan. I get it, but I think she also sees it as an upside for her movie career.
Yep.
Yeah. I don't have a problem with that. It's just at this point, I'm not exactly impressed. But hey, more power to her. And the thing is, she can't exactly ruin the game. And none of these actors can. You know what I'm saying? Like, the still core game's still going to be good. You know, I'm just saying. You know, quick little side note. It pains me to say this as a guy who, like, bled fighting games all throughout the 90s. But I'm done with the genre, man. Like, the whole scene is changed.
You done?
Yeah, the whole scene has changed so much. Like, you need to put so much time in just to be halfway decent against these dudes that just, you know, that are just beastly and cheat and shit. I'm like, I don't want to deal with that anymore. You know how many, dude, I have the other two Mortal Kombat games in my hard drive right now. Never touched them. I got Dragon Ball. I got Guilty Gear. I got all these fucking fighting games in my hard drive. Don't never touch them. You know, so I'm like, because I just don't have the time. So it's like, I see this announcement, I'm like, oh, that's cool. They got new Mortal Kombat. Like, the inner part of me that loved Mortal Kombat, you know, like the guy that used to, you know, fucking draw these characters with Manny and shit back in the day. Like, I still like that, but I just don't have the time anymore.
Do you have Injustice 2?
I have the first one.
Anybody here have
the same? We should
definitely do a live stream with that, because one of the cool things it has is it has like a round robin party mode, which reminds me of the whole vibe of being in an arcade. So we're all in a chat and we all get to see each other's matches.
That's cool.
And we can talk about and we can rate them too. And then whoever wins, then the next person jumps in. And again, we're all sitting here watching the match and talking and doing the whole thing. And, you know, it's a round robin and whoever wins on top. And it's great. It just reminds me of the arcade of when you put a quarter up on the screen. It's like, I'm next.
Yeah, this is interesting. So apparently the last Sonya was Trisha Helfer.
Who's that?
Oh. Isn't Trisha Helfer the bitch from Battlestar?
Starbucks?
No, yeah.
Starbucks?
Yeah, the what's her face? The Android 6, right?
Android 6.
Trisha Helfer?
I don't know
who that is.
But Trisha Helfer is somebody, you know, famous. You know? I'll look this up right now. We have the internet, right?
Hmm.
Yeah, Trisha. Yeah, I just want she's the Android. She's, yeah, it is. It's the girl from Battlestar. The Android. The blonde one. The hot one.
Yeah.
I was right the first time. Oh, shit, she's only 6 years older than me? Damn.
Oh, whoa.
That's interesting. And four years younger than Torrance. Oh, man. All right. I guess nobody else watched the fucking thing. So, yeah, Mortal Kombat's coming. I threw that in there for the fans, man, because I know they're hyped, you know?
I mean, the thing, like, I haven't really been interested in a Mortal Kombat fan ever since they decided to go, like, 3D graphics. So that's, like, years ago. So, I mean, I look at it, I'm like, hey, yeah, that's fine. It looks like, you know, looks fine. But I really don't have any interest in, after a certain point, I never really had any more interest in the Mortal Kombat games. And I mean, it's just funny. It's funny how you, Tony, you say that you have no time to play these sorts of games. Well, you actually do, because it doesn't take very long to.
It's what he prefers.
No, no, man. It doesn't take very long to finish. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the time that you need to get good again to fight those guys online.
I don't bother, to be honest. I play the game on my own, and then if any one of the guys, you know, like maybe Chris or someone who has the game, I'll play against them. But I ain't gonna play.
That's what I'm saying. It'll be fun because we could do that party thing, and then you know everybody's in there. We're
like
all watching.
The old days where we were still living near each other, then I'd still be playing these games. But like, you know what I'm saying? Is there's no point. You know, like you beat the game. You know the offline mode, and you're done in 2 days. Then what's the point of that? The real point of these games is to play with other people. You know, go ahead, Chris.
No, I was gonna say the last time I played anything like ranked online was Street Fighter 4.
Yeah, same
and
here.
That I had the time to put in. I don't have time anymore.
Yeah,
like
Street Fighter 4, I put in like over 100 hours, man. You know.
Yeah, but, I love Street Fighter. Even on the Turbo, the Ultra one, I did. Yeah,
Street Fighter 4 was good. But Street Fighter, I'm not going to get it. Street Fighter 5.
Yeah.
I didn't even bother. They're still releasing characters for that shit. Yeah. Fuck that, man.
And that's the thing. Go ahead, man.
Oh yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. If Street Fighter V was the game that made you say, you know, I think I'm going to take a break from these fights.
Yeah, it's a nickel and dime.
I think so. Yeah, because think about even with this game, and it left like a bad taste in my mouth. Both of the trailers, they ended pre-order to get Shao Kahn. Like, why do I have to pre-order to get Shao Kahn?
Exactly.
Give me Shao Kahn. You know, fuck out of here, man.
Yeah, wasn't Shao Kahn in the game already? Now he's you got to pre-order him.
Yeah, that's the thing. You know, Street Fighter, it's like they're getting all these characters, like that's great. But I'm like, why weren't they there from the beginning? You know what I'm saying? So, I don't know.
They're trying to make money, nickel and dime.
Listen. More power.
They could just say, wait for the Super Edition that comes later in the year.
Yeah, but then again, I keep buying these Mega Editions and I don't even play them. You know, so because like if you're playing these games, you got to play them on day one. I don't know, man. If you're into that, that's cool. But I'm done, man. I'm done with fighting games.
I hear you.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on here. Oh man. So EA has canceled the open world Star Wars game. Is anybody surprised?
No.
Damn, Rich. Why don't you start us off, man? What'd you think about all this nonsense?
Well, I really feel bad for Amy Hennig because all the work that went into whatever the project was that she was working on, and Visceral as well, you know. So, I mean, to hear this news was just,
bad were these games that they had to do this.
Well, say what?
That they had to just cut it this way.
No,
I mean, these have been in production for a while.
No, it wasn't a case of it being bad. It was a case of EA is looking for a short returns, right?
Yep.
So if this game launches in 2021 or whatever, they're looking for short investments. So they're like, this is going to take too long. We need to turn around this license immediately, like latest 2020. So they're probably like, no, it's going to take too long. They canceled it. Now it's sad they canceled it, but it has nothing to do with production quality.
Think about it like this, right? Like EA and Disney have this deal. What's come out of it?
Two lousy Battlefront games,
you know? Like, at this point, I'm like, Disney should just cut that deal, man. Go to somebody else, you know?
Oh, yeah.
I'm just being real right now.
I wouldn't be surprised if they're shopping the license around. Disney, I mean.
Yeah.
EA's desperate to have a short-term hit because of that. I bet Disney's putting lighting a fire under them, and then they went and made this rash decision to cut this game.
Think of all the pressure that's on Respawn right now for their Star Wars game. It's like, yeah, it should better be a hit.
That's going to get canceled. I watched that, you know. it's insane, man. You know, I don't expect any of these games to survive. Oh, yeah, Glorious War says they want a Destiny-like Star Wars game. Well, you know, they canceled it.
Well, they also want
just get Destiny then. Just sprinkle some Star Wars propaganda all over it. There you go.
Turn those Destiny guys into stormtroopers. Yeah.
Anyway, Rich, what are you saying, man?
They do want that, but they also want the microtransactions and loot boxes in the game as well. Oh. So,
well, in some countries that's illegal. So they got to watch themselves on that one.
That's crazy, man. So yeah, there's not really much more to say about this. She got canceled.
Well, I mean, we already kind of knew this was the writing was on the wall was already happening. I mean, in fact, we saw not long ago, Amy Henning had already opened up a studio, and she says, "Oh yeah, by the time the thing was announced that the they closed Visual, I was already gone. I just couldn't say it." Man. It's like all of a sudden, like, hey, look, you had a studio. You just walked out now, and all of a sudden, you got a studio. No, she had like months. She had almost a year or something like that.
Jeez. Okay, they're doing like VR games or something.
Yeah, I'm reading more of this story. Thankfully, nobody lost their job over this. You know,
that's good.
Yeah. What is this? I'm just okay. This is a EA statement to Kotaku. There's been speculation overnight about one of our Star Wars projects as a natural part of the creative process. The great work by our team in Vancouver continues and will evolve into future Star Wars content and games. We're fully committed to making whatever bullshit.
It's just, we're still working on games. Don't hate us.
It's a bullshit statement, and also they want a pat on the back for not shuttering another studio.
Yeah, good for you. Good for you, man. Thank you.
So with this in mind, I have to ask you guys: are any of y'all still looking forward to Anthem?
I was never looking forward to Anthem, man.
Yeah. That was Brett, right?
Yeah.
Brett.
Yeah, Brett. By the way, Brett couldn't make it tonight. He's going on vacation soon, and he had a pack and all that stuff.
Vacation?
Who is it? This is fucking Carlos and Brett were the only ones, right? Even remotely hyped for this game. I don't care about Anthem, you know?
Yeah, I know. I'm not seeing anything in it, and it's not selling me on anything, and I mean...
Yeah, it's like, oh, here we go. We're gonna do our own Destiny game. All right, man.
Yeah. Well, how do you think the higher ups feel at EA that Activision has now bailed on Destiny, and they went and tooled an entire game that's basically copying Destiny? Jesus. They're like, oh shit, they can't make it work. They bailed on it.
You know, if anything, they'll try to copy Ubisoft and their thing.
Oh, they can copy the Division and what at this point?
Yeah, that's what they'll do. I'm sure that's what Anthem will be. Eventually, it'll be like, okay, this doesn't work. Let's just turn it into the Division.
Listen, just cut the crap and just make a battle royale game. Just get you know, just go as low as you can.
I feel like this is the issue. One of the biggest issues with this generation is that the fact that game development does take so long to do. That a lot of these companies, like the company that did Titanfall, like the guys that did that game with the giant monster multiplayer game, that these companies, just to get something out, they make these kind of half games, mm-hmm. you know, with no story, obviously, no thing. It's just gameplay, and they don't work, you know.
Oh yeah, Evolve. I remember that game.
Yeah, it put out Evolve. The thing, didn't they just close down the servers on that thing? We're pretty recent, or not long ago.
Oh yeah, nobody was playing.
Nobody was playing that shit.
Yeah. I feel like it's because they have to. You know, there's either one or two things. You make the big investment, and you take 5 years to make a game, or you take take 2 years to make a game, and it's just multiplayer, and even that's not good enough for people. You know.
Yeah, but then they get the single player. They don't even touch the single player.
Yeah.
It's like, what the fuck do you guys want, man? You
can't make them happy. That's it.
You really can't, man.
The thing is that, you know, obviously you can't. I think the one thing about it is I think what happens even with the fans of games, that they expect every game to please everybody. And the thing is that every game can't please everybody. So stop trying to please everybody and, you know, give a good experience. If the game is good, people will find their way to it.
Yeah.
As opposed to trying, like, instead of trying to cast a wide net.
I feel like they're still all trying to get that Mario game, you know, the Mario game. Everybody wants that type of character that's like, damn, every time one comes out, just it's money. Even Zelda, you know what I mean? It just seems to be money. No matter what.
Well, I mean,
and I think that's what they're aiming for. They're all trying to.
The thing is that you don't get a Zelda by half-assing it. You know,
that's the problem. It's like these guys.
Even the worst Zelda game is better than most of these games.
And the worst Zelda game takes years to make. Anyway, Chris, go on, man. Go ahead.
Well, it's a they don't have understanding what makes a good game versus a bad game. Like a game like Zelda or whatever is iconic to us or whatever, such as like Metal Gear or whatever. It came from the mind of somebody who is creative talent and a genius. It didn't come out of a boardroom with sheets and investor notes and whatever, right? Mm-hmm. That's the problem. All these games that EA and Activision are doing are coming from like boardroom notes and Excel spreadsheets and market research that's half-assed. They don't come from somebody's like heart and soul that's like, man, I would love to make a story about a super spy or a fantasy world or whatever. No, it's not. It has no creative thought in it. It's just like, what's hot right now? Oh, PUBG's hot, right? Fortnite's hot right now, whatever. Oh, Destiny's hot right now. Okay, so let's make a Destiny. We can do that.
Yeah, make us one of those.
I just would like to make I just like to say I agree with everything that has been said, but I have to make one exception, and I'm pretty sure that Adam will agree. A Way Out. Fantastic game last year. So I'm glad that they let the devs do that.
They made a profit too.
You want to know why they left alone? Because the game didn't cost a lot of money to make. That's the secret. You don't blow a shitload of money on a you can't make a huge multi-billion-dollar game and expect it to be artistic, because at that point the studio's already getting nervous because they spent so much fucking money on it. What you do is you build smaller experiences, and that's where the innovation comes from. You see it you see a lot of it in the independent space. You see a lot of it with the smaller games because they're not blowing a bunch of money. So that means that, okay, that means they can experiment because they didn't invest a lot of money into it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. All right, man. Let's move on here to.
I just add something.
Oh, go ahead, Brian. Quickly. Yeah. By the way, hi, Brian. How are you, man? We haven't heard from you. Welcome. Mr. Brian.
I just find like really funny how on Sunday we talked about the idea of getting excited for games when they just announce something very bare bones. And I was like, it's not good, it's not healthy, and this is exactly why it's not healthy. Because now we have a bunch of people that are extremely disappointed. We have a bunch more people who are really mad at EA now. And again, it's all because they have announced a game which was pretty much fluff piece at that point in time, and nothing has come out of it.
You know the whole reason why they do that though too is just because they, you know, obviously they feel the pressure of trying to have something new rather than just kind of rehashing the same things over and over again. But I look at it like a lot of the games that were announced that one year, the same year that Amy Hennig's game was announced, well, some of those games don't exist.
It was all vaporware, man.
It was all a bunch of vaporware. What did we get out of that Star Wars thing? Like for three years in a row, what we got was like an update. It was like, hey, yeah, we're committed to making the greatest Star Wars game ever. And then it's like, hey, we got an announcement. We're making a Star Wars game with Amy Hennig. It's like, okay.
Why did it have a Canadian accent?
Okay.
Well, it was done in Vancouver, right?
Oh, yeah, Vancouver, you know. All right, man. Actually, before we move on, Brian, man, because you played Division a lot too. What do you think of all the updates and stuff for the sequel?
I don't know why, but I'm not feeling the second one. I just have no interest. I have no clue why.
Yeah, I thought we were going to be a team, like, you know, start our own A-team crew and stuff. What the hell, Brian?
I'm sorry. It's just, I'm just sat there just
You're
going
to be like the crazy pigeon who come out. You had a little calling sound. I had to hold it. I was like,
I think it's just the fact that it's
almost like, you know.
I think it's just the fact that it's not snow anymore. It's just like really annoying me. Because again, I love the snow. Because like, hey, it's snowing, you know. And the fact that they had like the blizzard in that survival mode. I enjoyed that. Yeah. It seems like without the weather effects, it's just kind of like,
Brian's like, man, how are you going to have a game running on a Frostbite engine and the motherfucker ain't even got no snow in it?
No snow. Hey, but no, I get that. Because that's what I was thinking. Remember, I brought it up before. I was like, man, this looks a lot like, you know, Ghost Recon. You know, this the Wildlands. But it looks, when you look further into it, a lot of the areas, it wasn't just vegetation. It's like everything looks run down. It sort of reminds you of like a I Am Legend. I got that vibe from it. You know? Everything just like, yeah, or maybe like The Last of Us. Who knows? Maybe you'll see, you know, Ellie running through the. Who's that? Oh my God. They make little appearances. That'll be fun.
Yeah, that would happen if they had a deal with We got Ellie in the game.
We got Ellie.
She can brutally murder you. Yeah. Doesn't need any guns.
All right, man. Moving on here. This is for you, Adam.
Oh, shit.
Rocket League is getting full crossplay.
Yeah.
Everything, yeah. Son. It's going to be crossplay with your motherfucking toaster, man. Shit is real right now, man.
This just helps the communities, you know, that for people that love playing those games. And it, whenever it pops up on another platform, it's an instant party. You know what I mean? Like, let's say if it just popped up on Switch and Switch didn't have that crossplay, who's playing it? You know, maybe a handful, maybe a few hundred people. But now it's alive. I just want to know how the whole thing works with my profiles. Because I know that I play Rocket League. You have your own profile and your own friends list. So can I do a search for, let's say, you under your name, your PSN name, and would it pop up? Like say, oh, let's say on Rocket League, you're Ace 184, but I know, you know, your gamer tag on PSN. If I type in your gamer tag PSN, is it going to show so that way I can add you? That's the only time I think it matters.
That's a good question. Yeah, do you have to put in my zip, my fucking social security, like, you know, normal Switch games and shit? You
know? Yeah, no, that's the thing. It's like, no one's going to put the fucking friend code. Are you kidding me? That's just not happening.
But yeah, Adam, the other reason I toss this in, because now, remember, because I'm always asking, like, where are these people demanding shit?
Yeah,
guess what I'm seeing now? People are like, hey, can I get this in Battlefield? You know, people are actually asking now, you know?
Oh, it's asking because they're actually seeing some movement. So yeah. They're like, well, we've said it before. No one's going to do it. They didn't do it. Then we see it happening now. So the question is, and this is what really everybody wants to know, when is a big triple A title, a big title, not like a Fortnite. It's not there. It's for popularity reasons. Yeah, people love it, but I'm talking about like a Call of Duty or, you know, like The Division or any of these big.
That's what I'm saying, man. Where's
when was that? Son? When that happens? Well, it's baby steps right now. Let's see if this works. If this works, if Sony says, "Wow, we did this. It didn't hurt sales. We're making money still from the micro. Okay, we this works. Okay, we're good." You know, I could see those things opening up, but now we have to see the numbers, and I don't know if they're going to ever release those numbers.
I don't know if the numbers are going to be that insane, to be honest, because if you think about it, it's kind of an old game. Usually, you want to do this sort of cross-play stuff on the right off the bat when the game is close to launch, or, you know, let's say it just dropped on Switch or dropped on PlayStation, you know, whatever console it's coming to, right? And then they're like, okay, we're dropping this on blah, 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 and now we're opening the door to the thing. I think that's the moment when you get the wave. I don't know if everybody's going to be jumping on this.
Well, with the Fortnite, well, I think some people who play
it. I think Fortnite's still in the zeitgeist. Rocket League, not so much.
I just want to see the money then. I just want to see, even with the Fortnite, it's like, do they see a change in the amount of money they're making from the cosmetic sales? Is it gone up? Is it gone down? That way we can get an idea for the future if they're going to continue this process with other games. Because if, let's say, they see a decline in people playing Fortnite on their platform and they don't see the sales, they're like, shit, this isn't profitable. Fuck that. Disconnect. We're not part of your party. You know?
I mean, Sony is still calling this a beta program, by the way.
Of course. Yeah, that's what I think it comes down to.
They're testing the waters. They're looking at all the numbers and they're looking to see if everything starts to jump up. If they notice that it's not happening, they're just going to be like, whatever. That's how we'll know.
If they say, you know what, we're not doing the beta, they'll come with some shit. Oh, I kept crashing server 61318. So we're backing out of this ship. Then we know it didn't make any money.
We got hacked by a Nintendo Switch. So
exactly. Yep. Some Nintendo kid, and he had a crazy friend code. We can't track him. He hacked us.
Crazy. All right, so yeah, crossplay. I think it's gonna, you know, we're starting to see the waves now. You know, I think next gen is gonna be probably more of a usual thing. You know, it'll be interesting.
Why would you want to play with somebody on Switch anyway with their lousy Wi-Fi? Oh,
the friend code itself, it's like, impossible.
It'll be like, you know, like, oh man, don't play with the Switch guys. Just fucking lag the game to a halt.
I feel like that could be said with the mobile. Right, because isn't mobile part of this whole thing?
Yes, that must suck.
Yes, it is. You're playing a guy's glitching. I was like, and then the guy, you know, well, if you can't hear him, but maybe another one's like, I'm on the train. It was like, get the fuck, boot him. You know, it's like, you know, what do you play with
this? Yeah, what if it doesn't? Does it say stuff like that? Like you say, like, you know, Fortnite mobile.
That's the thing. I don't know. Wait, I think I did see that. I think I saw it on this because I played on the Switch, and I think I did see a little icon next to their name. Mm-hmm. It shows like a little image of something. I think it did look like a phone.
Like, yo, don't play with that nerd, man.
Don't play with that. They're going to freeze your game.
But who knows? This could be the year. Or I was thinking of something else. Just if, what if they just came up with, they all agreed to do like an ICQ for those PC heads out there. I remember that. That instant messenger that just worked with everything. Remember? You can integrate if you had an AIM or you had Yahoo Messenger. It integrated everything into it. And it was in one central area. And you had your one account, but it linked to everything. So as long as you linked your account, it's sort of on the back end, send a notification to everybody on that friend's list. Hey, this is your buddy over here on ICQ. He's there. So you don't have to worry about trying to track him on the other systems. What if they all agreed on that? I mean, we saw them all on stage together, shaking hands and kissing each other on the cheek and shit. So if they're all, yeah, if they're all boys right now, agree to say, hey, listen, everybody's bitching about crossplay and stuff. How about we just work together on one app? One app that works on all of these that they can have that, and it just integrates their system so they can communicate on these games and stuff. Maybe they could do something like that.
No, they can't do that because it would make too much sense.
Yeah, there you go.
You know? All right, man. And the last story, this one's just in here for fun. It's a bullshit article, but this shit is funny anyway. All right, so according to a study by LG, Xbox gamers are better than every other gamer.
I don't believe that. How do you do that?
Yeah, what?
Okay, I'll just read this. This is from Game Rant. Tech giant LG recently conducted a study in partnership with video game publisher Activision where its goal was to determine if PC, PS4, or Xbox users were quote-unquote better gamers. According to LG, the results of the study show that Xbox players are better, quote-unquote, at video games than those who game on PC and PS4, with PC gamers faring the worst. That already right there lets you know some suspect here.
What is, I still don't understand. Okay. What do you mean better okay. as in what they don't curse?
Yeah, so it goes, no, they're talking about like, you know, mechanically better. Okay, go. The study was conducted using LG's Elite Reaction Test, wherein users clicked on targets as fast as possible. This was to determine player accuracy, how many targets they hit, how many they missed, and how quickly they were able to hit each target. In total, over 1,400 people participated in the test. The study showed that Xbox players were able to hit 78% of targets, PS4 players were able to hit 74% of targets, and PC players were able to hit 70% of targets. However, while PC players struggled with accuracy, they were shown to react faster to the targets than their console counterparts. Okay, and apparently you could participate in the test yourself. Pretty interesting because, like, aren't PC guys the best because they have mouse and keyboard and shit?
Yeah, maybe they have a mouse and keyboard, though.
Yeah, well, that's it. Maybe they, yeah, exactly. Maybe they were on console and they're not familiar with the controller. Man, they're like, no, I can't do this. Well, you fail next.
Yeah, it says, yeah, go ahead, Chris.
No, I'd have to look at the specifics of the study because there's so many factors. It's like, PS4 and Xbox controllers are fundamentally different. PC players play with keyboard and mouse. Yeah. You're playing on 4K TV versus a high resolution monitor.
Refresh rate on that said monitor.
What game did they use for the targeting? Are they just
apparently it was Black Ops 4.
They used Black Ops 4. Okay, but it's not going to be the same experience between
Isn't the stereotype that most of the Xbox players play only first person shooters?
Well, that was the whole thing.
I got to read this part because you know I think they kind of nailed it. They go, the test can be found by clicking here and was apparently put in place to promote the launch of Black Ops 4. The results of the test are suspect though and not very scientific. After all, players could simply lie about what their platform choices and then purposely do worse in an attempt to skew the results.
Unless you conduct the study yourself, like you sit someone down, you have a bunch of like, okay, we got all these LG 4K TVs, they're the exact same TV, here's an Xbox One X, here's a PS4 Pro, we set up this gaming PC and we configured it so that you get sort of an equivalent experience, and you sit people down, you make them sign an NDA, and you go and do a test. Not on your honor, sir, can you tell us what you played?
Yeah. Let me read this part. By the way, I love how this article keeps breaking down the bullshit. Again, I threw this in here for fun. This is totally fake news. Okay, it doesn't seem that the results are supposed to be all that serious, though. In fact, it seems like a marketing ploy on the part of LG. Yeah, no shit. In the press release about the study, LG marketing manager David Hall said, "No matter how you choose to play, we're dedicated to creating the best gaming experience we can with our range of low latency 4K HDR gaming TVs designed to do the game justice." He said they're just hawking their shit.
Okay,
so all this was to hawk their shit.
Oh, good.
I hate generalizing for anything. These people good, these people suck. It's like everyone's different. People are different. You can't say which team is better. No, I don't believe it.
You know, here's the thing. Like, officially, EA, or was it Black Ops? EA can actually tell you what the accuracy is, at least for all three consoles.
And EA could also tell you how many Xboxes have been sold.
They can also tell you how many. The thing is that they keep a lot of track. I'm sure they do keep a track of that certain sort of data, right? That's why Microsoft was able to tell you how far people were driving in fucking Halo.
we could see it when we watch those MLGs. I mean, some of these shots, these headshots, I mean, that's the hand eye coordination is ridiculous, but that's just an individual person. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I don't know if it's really specific to
soon. You could probably tell you all these numbers, but why?
Yeah. Brian, what were we going to say, man?
Yeah. I would say even the games themselves, they track the accuracy of the person. So in theory, you could just get all that together and find out. Like on a per platform basis, but even then, like going back to the study, it's the quote unquote study. I took a major issue to the sample size. Basically, anything under 5,000, I just tend to ignore. And I think they had 1,500. And another thing that I had an issue with is that it wasn't split equally for each platform. It was 600,000 one platform, 600 one platform. 500 one platform and 400 the other platform. It's not been split three ways evenly. So I was there's just some nonsense.
Yeah, it's a bullshit study. I just found it funny.
Buy our TV, by the way, because
total bullshit. All right. By the way, thank you to Glorious War for asking us about this. I know this ain't throwing your questions, but we're gonna do this because you guys didn't ask us about this story for some reason.
What?
We need to talk about Randy Pitchford being accused of embezzlement, people. Oh man, Richard, did you hear about this one, man?
I did hear about this one, and especially this disturbing because that same time we had that trip. For the Division event, I heard the story about him also having an issue with somebody who used to work for him and his wife stealing money from him. So, yeah, it's a lot of bad news for him all at a bad time.
Yeah, man, it's crazy. Chris, what can you tell us about this? I think you read a little more about this than I did. I just read the headlines, basically. I was like, oh, that doesn't sound good, you know?
I heard about the USB drive of porn.
Yes. Well, see, even that. Yeah, that I heard. And that he pointed out to a website to a podcast where he talked about magic. And it was just that it was a girl doing a magic trick, that she's a streamer, one of those porn streamer things. And she had a video and that was it. And it was some barely legal 18 or something like that. He said it was weird.
I mean, with the bonus payout, I don't know if he got it or not. He denies it, but I mean, most CEOs in companies have their golden parachute. They have something written in, but it's usually very public. I mean, you know, it's so and so is exiting, and they get a $60 million bonus or some ridiculous, obscene number as their severance, right?
Yeah, this was 12 million.
He got a $12 million severance from Gearbox, but I don't understand two things. Why was it secret? Did he probably get it? Sure. I mean, most CEOs get something like that. They have it written in their contract or whatever. They get this payout and stuff. I don't know why it was secret, unless there was a Gearbox was in some kind of financial trouble where he's not supposed to get it and he got it anyway, which would be bad. That would be illegal. So, you know, I don't know the details of that. Like, you have to prove that he got the payout, you know?
Yeah, and isn't he saying that it's all a bunch of bullshit, too?
Yeah, he denied it.
Of course he denied it. It's interesting.
I was just about to say, like, who would say, yes, I did do that?
Yeah, nobody would ever say, yeah, I totally did that. Yeah,
I totally did that.
Yeah. No, I mean, the thing is, it's like, again, it's like, let's go back to, you know, a certain colonial Marines and what things that were said were done during that time where they were, you know, all the rumors say that they were using money from 20th Century Fox for the development of aliens, colonial Marines to develop their game. You know, what's that game that they do? Borderlands.
Yeah, that's what Violence and Empathy said. He goes, he committed fraud to Sega with pulling funds from his own company that was supposed to go to aliens, colonial Marines, or pulling funds to his company. Yeah. And Glorious War says apparently the $12 million was for the employees of Gearbox. Yeah, he kept it for himself.
Mm. Okay, so in that case, it's not part of his contract. That would be embezzlement, yeah.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying, yeah.
So that's going to be up to the courts to decide. They're going to court over this.
Randy, you can't be doing that shit, Randy.
You can't be doing that to anybody, man. It's crazy. Do that, Randy. This industry, man, is always something.
So number one, he left Gearbox in general?
No, isn't Gearbox still around?
No, I mean he left.
He left, I think.
Oh, he left. Okay, I didn't realize.
No, Gearbox is there. Yeah, he left. But if he wasn't supposed to get this bonus or the severance, and he got it off of some bonus that's supposed to be split from employees, and there's some credence to this because it said it was given to him based on Borderlands profits. So. And he's denying it. He's denying that he ever got the money. So that's kind of strange.
Yeah, it's like, but can't people see where that $12 million went, you know?
Right. There has to be accounting there. I mean,
that's a large amount of money.
Who's to say that's not some of that money he embezzled off of the fucking, what's that thing? Off of Aliens. So he used a bunch of money for Aliens to pay. Oh, you know, this is speculation. He used a bunch of money to get Borderlands going. And being Borderlands had a little bit of money extra, and it got got a lot of money when it made a lot of money. He probably pocketed the rest of it because it was vapor money. That was money so it was supposed to be spent on something else.
Then I mean,
I'm going to tell you this in production, you know, film production or in TV production, a lot of times the producers get the additional money off of the budget whenever a show or TV show or anything like that, you know, movie gets, you know, comes in under budget. So theoretically, that could be that sort of thing too. But who knows?
Either way, man, it sounds like a messy situation.
Yeah. But by the way, he still is CEO at Gearbox. So
There you go.
Oh, wait, and, so that's
how. And a financial officer walks in. It's like, I see some money missing. He's like, yeah, and I could put some in your pocket if you say, okay, let's make a deal.
All right, then this was just a bonus. Then this wasn't a severance.
He gave himself a bonus.
Yeah. Gave himself.
Like I created the company, I should be able to give myself a bonus.
There you go.
I mean, that's some like trashy Hollywood shit. That's shit you always hear in studios and stuff.
Oh yeah,
like, studios failing and giving themselves like $60-80 million bonuses. The failing upwards. You know,
that was a big deal in the music industry. Well, at the time, big execs getting all the money and like the performers not getting shit, and that's why they're always on tour trying to make their money from the tours.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, from merchandise and stuff.
Yeah, merchandising.
Merchandise. All right, man. I think that's going to do it for us, man. Rich, I want to thank you for being on, man. You know, good talk about the division. It was nice to finally talk about that event, wasn't it? You know?
Oh, yeah, I agree.
I'm going to go.
Yeah, it was a month ago. I'm like, fuck, man, that's a long time, you know? So, you know, what can people look forward to with the coalition in 2019, man?
Well, actually, we're working on quite a bit of things. I do know that Gary and Edward will be doing a co-op tomorrow. I may be joining the co-op tomorrow. I don't know because I have something else that I have to take care of. But Yeah, we have a lot of things we're working on right now. So a lot of games that dropped that we're actually reviewing as well. So stay tuned for that on the website. And as for the future plans, don't worry. There will be some announcements sooner rather than later.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, also make sure to head over to the Coalition right now where you can check out Richard's interview with Tony from The Division 2. Really good interview. You know, a lot of insight, a lot of really good questions you asked there. So please go check that out, guys.
Yep.
Oh, please. Thank you. Yes, very much.
Yeah, man. All right. And that's going to do it for we don't have any special announcements here on Thor. I think it's just a regular ass week. No, I do want to give a shout out.
Oh, wait. No, something big just happened to it. What do you mean?
What happened to the Division?
That game? No. Besides, no, that's
all, no, don't derail just the show. We're talking about Ghostbusters, man.
No. Just going to say Star Trek Discovery's back today.
That's okay. yeah. Just a quick shout out to the fans. We had a little bit of a larger turnout this week for whatever reason. So that's good. We had an average of 20 people in there the whole time. People like the talk, man.
Welcome.
Talk the talk, walk the walk. Let's have some fun.
Yeah, rest in peace, Star Trek, indeed, my friend. Chris, don't get me started, right? Star Trek
gotta
and
watch
Star Wars
it.
Are dead to me, man. All right, people. We will see you next time. So thank you for watching and listening. Subscribe to Throwdown on SoundCloud, iTunes, and YouTube. Follow us on Twitch, Twitter, and Facebook at Throwdown Show. Links are located in the description below. Once again, I was your host, Tony Polanco. And tonight I was joined by Emilio Lopez.
I'll see you later, guys.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Carlos Romero.
I bought a 200 gigabyte SD, a micro SD card to freaking...
Damn, what the fuck? That should have been the main topic, man. Adam Vale.
Have a good weekend, everybody. Play some Division 1. Enjoy life. You know, live it up.
Brian Monjoma.
R.I.P. Carlos's hard drive.
Too shit.
Yep.
Now somebody's enjoying it. They're like, oh shit, look what I got.
Weba!
Oh, I don't know if they're going that far. Yeah, that was two and a half. I remember that song.
And Richard Bailey Jr.
Talk to you later, everybody.
All right, guys. We'll see you on Sunday, man. Later.
Later, guys. Deuces.